Oh, hello there, Podcast Land. What's happening? Long time no talk. Hopefully all of you are doing great. Now time to read a little bit of advertising. Episode 120 of the Behind the Barricade podcast is brought to you by Silence and Solitude. Based out of Southern New Jersey, Silence and Solitude is a metalcore quintet that consists of Shane Roxas, Colby Hempel, Cody Mitchell, Alexander Coates, and Justin Pomper. The band formed in early 2015 and made their debut in September of the following year, 2016, having spent the previous year writing and recording. And what did they come up with in that year? Well, just their debut album, Resurgence, came out December of last year, 2016, and it debuted at number 20 on the iTunes Metal Charts. That's pretty fucking awesome. Big props to them. They have released music videos for their singles Suffering, Deceiver, and for the cover of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Good enough. I give that one a 6 out of 10. 7 out of 10. Yeah, what's like a C plus? An 80? So it'd be an 8 out of 10? But would it... Yeah, whatever. I'll give myself an 8 out of 10. I'm feeling good about myself today. So 8 out of 10 for that. Don't ask the American Idol judges. But you know what? If you don't want to take my word for how good Resurgence is, and if you don't want to take the band's word on how good Resurgence is, what about New Transcendence? They said that Resurgence is a must-listen for 2016, without a doubt, especially for fans of metal and its subgenres. If you're looking for something that is emotionally powerful, but not too whiny, aggressive, but not hate-filled, and will stand the test of time, this is the album you've been searching for. For more information, visit www.silenceandsolitude.com. Episode 120 is also brought to you by 627. Imagine the Foo Fighters and Muse stuffed in an underground studio during the nuclear holocaust with nothing but Weezer and Radiohead albums to session. Well, if you honestly think about what that would sound like, you don't have to think any further. You just have to listen to 627, delivering the attitude of an underdog and the punch of a champion. 627's chunky guitar riffs, charismatic vocals, and emotional solos are the most beautiful ass-whooping your ears have ever taken. For more information, hit up dub7records.com. That's dub, D-U-B, the number of 7, and then records.com. And like them on Facebook at S-I-X-T-W-O-S-E-V-E-N 627. So 627 spelled out, and then the number 627. Easy enough, huh? Last, but certainly not least, this podcast is also brought to you by the Golden Hearts Festival, taking place on August 9th and 10th at the beautiful Gramercy Theater in New York City, East 23rd Street. It's going down those 2 days. It's a new festival that promotes the best New York City and New Jersey local bands. Hell yeah. All over 2 days. Awesome. Day one, you have bands like Jinx, Born Anew, Trace Your Steps, The Harkening, Refinement, Iridian, Ender, and Idle Minds. Day two. Listen, did I screw that up? Did I say day one? Well, that was day one. This is day two. Day two is In Loving Memory, Monument of a Memory, Zoom, Shallow Views, Champ, Approaching Troy, Anata, and Varsity. How awesome is that? Well, I'll answer for that for you. It's extremely awesome. All right. Tickets are only $16 for each date. Come on. $32 for two great days of great bands. Come on, it's a steal. It's a steal. I mean, think about it. If you went to Newfound Glory's two shows that happened, I believe, at Irving Plaza, you'd pay like $25, $30 for two bands, the same two bands, for two straight nights. Yes, you might know more of the songs. Okay, granted, that's a possibility. But the fact is, you could see so many great bands, bands that you may know of, bands that you don't. All for $32 for 2 days. Come on, it is a no-brainer. So come on out, show your support for this new festival, and support the local scene. And hit up each band for tickets. I mean, don't go on Ticketmaster and get ripped off. You know, $16 ticket turns into like $32 for one date because of service fees and all those convenience charges, which really isn't that convenient, but you know what? That's the society we're in. That's what happens when you want to go to a concert. You have to buy through Ticketmaster, or you could pay double the triple on StubHub. So, kind of sucks, but here's your chance to bypass all of that garbage. Hit up the bands directly. So, that's about it on our end. Episode 120 features Mr. Jesse Smith, and it also features Mr. Daniel Tao, and they're going to be doing a little bit of talking right now.
From out of the wasteland of generic podcasts and radio shows, one has emerged. It prides itself on having conversations with the most talented musicians from all over the world. If you like a boring question and answer interview, this isn't for you. If you want deep conversations about anything and everything, you've come to the right place. Your new favorite show starts now, and its name is Behind the Barricade.
What's going on, Podcast Land? This is Daniel Tao for another episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast. In this episode, I speak with Jesse Smith and the Holy Ghost. We go over their backstory and the formation of the band. We go over tour life, doing music over being in a regular 9-to-5 job. We go over talking to Jesse about touring and having a 17-year-old girl at home who wants to actually go to an expensive college and how it would be affording that and affording other daily living expenses. We go over the upcoming album, upcoming tours, and a whole bunch more. Well, anyway, without further ado, I present to you Jesse Smith and the Holy Ghost. Let's do it.
Where are you guys from?
We're in West Virginia on the Ohio River. Like, I can see Ohio from my front porch.
Damn.
Yeah, where are you at?
New Jersey.
Oh, nice, man.
Yeah, kind cool. I live near Pennsylvania. John's kind of more closer to New York City.
Okay. But nice.
We're still not that far, like 45 minutes.
Nice. Yeah, I lived up in the York, PA, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area in the early 2000s for about a year and a half.
That's great. I can't remember the band's name, but I think probably like two or three podcasts ago, one of the bands was from Virginia. We were talking about like road rage and shit, and he was saying that they're like the one of the problems is you'll get caught behind like a tractor, and sometimes it'll take up like the whole road.
Oh yeah,
and like people get pissed and shit.
Driving around here, man, everybody's Ohio, West Virginia drivers, dude, goofy.
Really?
So yeah, we were out. Go ahead.
I'm always under this assumption that like New Jersey drivers are the worst and that we have like the worst road rage. And then when you go down south, you really don't have that much of a problem. Like people are nice. And then they're telling me that some dude got out and like shot a bow and arrow at someone and killed him. And I'm like, yeah, that's worse. I don't hear of that shit happening up here.
Oh, holy shit. That's crazy. There's actually today in our little town, we live in a pretty small, you know, area, 80,000 people tops, and there's some wild asshole running around shooting people.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. There's cops driving around everywhere. He shot some dude in the back about less than a mile from my house. I'm locked and loaded.
Wow. Now I'm trying to think if it's in PA, but that, I don't know if you guys seen it, that whole like Facebook story where the guy videotaped himself like shooting some random old guy, and then now he committed suicide because the police found him.
Oh yeah, it's a mess, man. That was in Cleveland.
Oh really?
Yeah. That's where we did the majority of the sessions for the record we put out in the summer. It was a compilation of just different sessions, and they were all done up in Cleveland. And that was crazy, man. My daughter's all like, hey dad, check this out. And allegedly this guy's like, you know, killed this guy on Facebook Live. And I like open it up and I'm like, that shit's not fake, man. It's crazy.
And it's over like a girl or something. He said that in the video, he was like, oh, this is for you. And like, this was because of you. Like, this was because of her. You're killing some random dude that doesn't even know you.
I know. What did that poor old man have to do with his girlfriend?
Like, dude, kill yourself, not another dude.
He did, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but that's because the police found him.
Yeah. That's messed up. Yeah, my dude said they found him in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying about Pennsylvania, because I have someone
that
I work with that lives there.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, this world, I don't know what's going on. I mean, what sucks too is I'm like, when you see stuff like that, you're like, oh, that's in another part of the world. Like it's almost like you separate yourself, and that's not going to happen here. Like, that won't ever happen to me. That just happens, like, whatever. Like, you hear it on the news. It's not something that you feel like that could happen in your real life, but...
Right.
I guess it can, because one of the... I'm trying to think of what terrorist attack, but this person actually went to Canada, escaped, like, a terrorist attack, and then another one happening in the United States, and they got caught in that one, too, but died.
That's so messed up. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, it seems like... shit's definitely getting a little loose, man. Starting to fall apart everywhere.
Yeah, and then I don't know if it's because we have like the ability to reach that stuff nowadays. That may a lot of this shit happened maybe years ago, or it even happened when we didn't have internet and stuff. But it just, you didn't know about it because all we had was like newspapers and. But I don't know.
I just get bummed anytime I get on it, man. I've pretty much been exclusively using the old Instagram. It's like, that way, the only thing that can piss me off is somebody's face I see every day, or a stupid picture of scrambled eggs and asparagus.
Yeah, I mean, that's one good, I would say the one good thing about Instagram is it's like, you just basically, I have like a whole collection of cool shit in front of you. But yeah. At the same thing, it's like, you like one chick's photo that she's like half nude. You're like, oh, yo, that chick's like really abnormally like hot. And then now that's like all you see is half nude chicks in your Instagram. And like,
I know, it's such a bummer, man. I mean, it's weird how that all that stuff was supposed to bring us closer together, and it has in some ways, like mm-hmm. you said, with tragedy and stuff like that. But as far as everything else, I mean, with I have a couple teenage kids, and it's, and you know, all my friends, dudes in the band are younger, and I use it, and all I see it, man, it's like so distracting, isolates people, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, another thing too is I don't know how you are with it, but with me using like Pandora, using that, I always refrain from liking things that I know it's going to keep like pushing. For instance, if I open up a Disturbed station at Pandora, I'm personally trying to find bands that sound like Disturbed or other songs that I haven't heard. I don't want to hear 3 Days Grace and Five Finger Death Punch, like all these bands I know. I want to hear something I've never heard. So when a song comes up, I'm like, yeah, I might love this song by Disturbed or NOFX, but I'm not going to like it because I know that they're going to keep pushing that same band down my throat.
Yeah. Oh, it's insane, man. Like the algorithms and stuff. Half the time I wonder if they're, you know, if every device that we use is recording. I know that there's been a couple times where we're like chilling out on the back porch with like a group of people talking about random shit, you know, like barbecuing. And somebody will say something as random about like chocolate milk mm-hmm. or like Miller High Life Light. And you open up your phone and there's a freaking ad for that stuff right there.
Dude. I hear so many. I've never had an instance of that. I know so many people talk about it. They're like, it's so weird. Like, we were talking about it, and then boom, it shows up. My only thing is, like, those random ads that are, like, on not really so popular websites. So I'll go to, like, Musician's Friend, and I'll be looking at this new mixer or whatever. And then all of a sudden, I'll go on this random website, and it'll be advertisement for mixers.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
At the same time, like, I hate it, too, for like Instagram, because... You know, the purpose of that algorithm is, oh, you like half new chicks. We want you to stay on Instagram, so we're gonna show you things because you like them. You know, it's a catch 22. Like, I want to see stuff that I like, but I also don't want it to be repetitive. And obviously, that's for the purpose of them, is to keep you on their website.
Yeah, definitely. It's like movies and art, man. Mm-hmm. It's like the pushers. It's all the same shit, man.
Yeah.
So how long have you guys been doing this? I checked out some of this stuff you guys are doing. It's really cool. How long have you guys been doing this podcast?
I want to say me personally, I've been doing it 2 years. John, I would say a little longer. And it's kind of a funny backstory because he started as a way to get free tickets to shows. Nice. I mean, I try to see like every band that I love, like all my favorite bands, to try to like and go see them. And I thought I went to a lot of concerts, dude. This guy, like, like hundreds. I'm like, yeah, I probably went to like 50 maybe. And he's just like, I've seen this band like 5 times. or even more than that. I think like some bands you've seen like 10 times. Me, I mean, it's because of luck. Like I've seen Killswitch Engage 5 times. I didn't actively go out and seek and go to a headlining show for Killswitch to see them 5 times. But so yeah, he actually started as a way to get in free for shows, because basically how it works with us is, you know, you find a band and you say, hey, listen, you know, they're playing at this venue. We would like to do an interview for our podcast. And then a lot of times we'll hook you up with a free pass. So that was his way of like, hey, I'll do an interview, get to meet some of these bands, hopefully, and get in for free.
Yeah, awesome. That rules.
But I mean, obviously now we're not doing it for that reason. You know, it's cool that we get to see like we just did Warped Tour this past year. So it's cool we got to do interviews with bands on the Warped Tour. But I mean, for us, I mean, me personally, I'm sure John is the same thing. We're trying to legit do this as a business. And another thing too is I've been in and out of local bands, my band Dead Tide, you know, we're trying to do stuff, but it sucks because I like didn't want to be that person, but you just get older and you're like, you know what, that lifestyle that I'm trying to achieve and trying to shoot for doesn't look like it's going to be it would be luck, or it looks like it would be something that I'm kind of reaching for the stars. Maybe I should try doing something like this where, and I also want to do something like this too, is where like build my own business and be my own boss or whatever.
Nice. That's awesome, man. Yeah, absolutely. It's tough out there, dude. We toured a lot last summer and, you know, I've been touring US and abroad for 20 plus years, and it's definitely tough.
I mean, so after like that whole time, does that get to you? Like, you know, I'm not like the band that I want to be, or are you comfortable like in the place that you are now where, you know, you have kids and you're able to at least go tour and play music that you love? Like, are you comfortable with that, or do you get down? Like, I've been doing this for 20 years. I feel like I should have something more.
I think like, I was, you know, I used to play in this metal band that toured a lot. And we did it for a living, you know, for a while. And, I left the band in 2004 and then just did anything else. I played in a couple other bands, but in 2008, I kind of found, you know, some day job stuff that I liked and kind of had stepped away. And then I started doing this again. So I you know, it's been a couple years since we've been a full band, and, I was always continued playing music and stuff, but getting back into it where you're going out with 5 to 7 guys in a 12 passenger, you know, doing what we did last summer. You know, I think it's more of like understanding like the joy in it, you know what I mean? And going into you connect and have a fan base that's constantly going to come out to the shows and constantly going to buy that new shirt, you know? We've had a really good time, you know. There's been a lot of ups and downs in the last year or two, but I think you got to do it. You got to always have a backup plan for sure. You know what I mean? There might be time in a couple years where you're super happy with what's happened monetarily with the business, and you just want to get out on the road and sleep on a dirty ass floor for a week, you know. So
yeah, continue.
Yeah, I gotta get. The older you get, the more responsibility you have for sure. Mm-hmm. You got to get smarter about it. You got to, I think a lot of guys get caught up in like, let's just tour. And really what, till you have either the support, you know, from, you know, an entity that has money, or, you know, you've got your own coin yourself. It's not as easy as just staying on the road, and eventually you just kind of end up burning out. So we've been trying to pick stuff that's smart. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff that, you know, going out with bands that we enjoy and just really having fun with it is kind of where it shifted to, you know?
Mm-hmm. So what do you do? It seems like you guys go on tour a lot, or more frequently than someone like me in a local band does. What do you do outside of that? Not as far as like activities, but to make ends meet or to support your family.
I run title work for lawyers. So basically cheap lawyering. I got into it a while back and just really just projects, corporate projects, whether that's like real estate or land deals or stuff like that, you know? And then I hustle other stuff on the side. I'm always wheeling and dealing, and spring, summer, run some yard crews, just anything, man, you know, always to get by. Yeah. You know, I got a daughter that's talking about going to an expensive college. So I gotta keep something moving all the time.
Damn. How old is she?
She's 17, man. I have a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old. Yeah. Yeah. So it's crazy, man. We're getting into that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But, the one thing that sucks too is me, like, I hate doing the whole 9-to-5. Like, I totally just want to get out of that, like, rat race, but.
Absolutely.
And it's funny too, because I know some people have toured and then now they have good jobs. Like, for instance, I was listening to the guy who, I don't know if you know, like, Superior and Easy Drummer. This one's, oh, yeah. You know them?
Oh yeah. Great stuff. I had Superior on my old rig. Yeah. It's awesome.
So I was listening to the guy who created them. He was on like a small drumhead podcast. They're called Drumheads Podcast. But he was just saying like how, oh, you know, everything with drums, like building them and customizing them and all this shit. He's like, I've done it. And he's like, I wanted to be that drummer in a band. And obviously now he's the CEO of Toontrack, but he's like, you know, this totally beats sweating and grinding it out in a van. And obviously the person who was running the podcast, he felt the same way, because it's the reason why he stopped like doing the whole gigging and touring. But I mean, at the same time, I've been in, I since out of high school, I've worked at the same job for almost 10 years. And I'm sorry, like, I trade that over sitting in my comfy cubicle where I'm just bored and I hate my life. Like, I totally would love traveling and, you know, kind of, you're basically holding out for a half hour of your day, like doing all this shit, like, just for a half hour of like freedom, and not even that, but like I guess you could say euphoria, because for 30 minutes you don't care about anything and it's just fun. But
absolutely, yeah, man. I mean, I see it all the time with, you know, whether it's people at work or a parent or whatever. It's kind of backwards, right? Like, mm-hmm. We bust our ass our whole life, and then by the time, you know, I don't really ever see myself being able to retire, but you know, you get, as we watch our parents get older and whatnot, you know, it's kind of like, was it worth it? That was what was so cool about, we toured with Islander last summer, and the majority of the guys in the band had never been farther west than Texas. So like, once we got out, as opposed to, you know, with a lot of the touring that I did in Zao, we were always just so busy, or there was this to do or that, so we didn't get to do a lot of things that were cool. And we did some crazy shit, man. We saw every ocean. We slept in the forest at the Grand Canyon. We did all kinds of stuff. So that was cool, man, to kind of take it in and enjoy it while we were out, you know?
Mm-hmm. So if you got like a really, really good, say eventually, like in 5 or 10 years, you got a really good job, and for some reason this is obviously hypothetical, but say you would have found out, like, listen, you're making 100 grand. Before you started touring, you could have had this job that, you know, obviously you might not be as happy as playing music, but you have this job that at least now you can live a way more comfortable life. Would you want to go back and say, oh, I'd erase all the things I did just to have this earlier? Or would you say, no, the touring and experiences of like sleeping, like you said, in the Grand Canyon, it was worth way more than having to wait for this job?
I wouldn't trade any of it, man. I mean, in theory, it would be nice to be set up a little more comfortably, not, you know, have so much debt and things like that. But I've actually done that in the last 3 years. I've walked away from 70K a year for music stuff twice. Mm. And, you know, I feel like for me personally, I mean, it's just, I think music's just a part of so many people, you know, and some people are cool, just like doing their thing. And, you know, I think it's really important to be in tune with like where your energy is directing you to go. I mean, even on the flip side, you know, if you're fighting that killer job and that quote unquote, you know, dream life, making some real coin and you know, you got the girl in the house and all that, then that, if that's what you want to do, it's totally cool. For me, I don't know. I felt like I wasn't done yet. I tried to quit for, you know, X amount of time. And I just wanted to get back in the trenches, you know, get out with some bands and play. But, no, I mean, the financial aspect of it is, it's tough. I think it's what really kind of puts the nail in the coffin for a lot of touring musicians, man, because it's, everything's changed so much, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for me, totally, like, if I got a chance to be in like a touring band as a drummer and I was making this, I mean, obviously I would love to make a little, even just a little bit more than I'm making now, because it's like scraping to get by, but
right.
If I had the chance to go out and be in a touring band making almost the same amount of money that I am now, hopefully more, yeah, I would totally drop it in a heartbeat, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it really works for some people, and for others, it does not. I've tried to kind of find workarounds, like for instance, we were blessed to have it, but we toured all summer in a pretty shitty van with no air conditioning. And, you know, there's five dudes in our band, and we had like our merch guy and a TM. And so this van came up. I've always wanted a Sprinter. Mm-hmm. And so I traded my vehicle in on a Sprinter, and now I rent that Sprinter to other bands, you know, if they're in need of it. Like, I've got going out on Warped Tour this year with a driver, that kind of thing. So I've tried to find like smart workarounds to kind of make it work, you know, to maybe things you can put your, you know, it's like what you're doing with this. Mm-hmm. Still have your finger on the pulse of what's going on with music. And anytime you want to jump back up and pick it back up, you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's so funny too, cause me and John were talking about, they're like, if you explained what we had to do or what we've been doing for Behind the Barricade, and this is like it is for like other bands, I guess you can even compare it to something like random, you know, like going to the gym or something stupid. But if you told someone like, listen, you spent all this money, you spent all this time, you bought all this equipment, and you're not making any money back, they'd be like, what is wrong with you?
Right.
You know, if like you explained it, if you used it as a different example, not like you told them, oh, I bought equipment for this, I bought stuff for Behind the Barricade, trying to build a business. If you told them, they'd be like, that's insane. Like, I would never do that, you know?
No, totally. Right. But you have to find joy in it, you know, and then it makes it worth it. I mean, I think some people are cut from a different cloth, man. It's like the normal quote unquote normal thing is just, it's not enough, but you know, some of us.
Yeah. I mean, some people might be luckier in a sense. For me, like for me, for instance, it's more like a weird situation. It's not like it is a health issue, I guess you could say. But for me, like, I'm always tired. I wake up tired. I go to bed tired. It's like nothing helps. So for me, I'm like, yeah, driven by money, because I could totally help maybe cure my issue, but I'm driven by happiness. So I'm like, I don't freaking care if I make $100,000 at my job. Like, I'm going to hate it. Like, if they offered me a raise tomorrow and I was making $100,000, I'm pretty sure I would love every second of buying things that I couldn't buy now and all that stuff. But in 10 years, I'm going to hate my life just as much, you know?
As long as you can take joy in it, man, if that cash is coming in, I mean, cash is king, dude, you know?
Like, yeah.
It's a weird fucking religion, man, money and all that stuff. Fake printed money. But we can do the things we want with it, right?
Yeah. But I don't know. To each his own. I mean, who knows? Maybe if I did make $100,000, everything would be better and I would be looking at my job more positively, you know? It's like the brain's a weird thing. Like, some people, like, I'm just thinking, say someone gave you something and it was someone that you totally hated. Like, immediately you're almost going to be in your mind wishing that didn't work. But if I'm making $100,000, I might go to work every day happy and just like, oh, this shit happens. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm making $100,000.
Right.
So, all right. So, you know, we spent a good time kind of talking about random stuff. Why don't we, the one kind of question I wanted to ask you is about the band name. Like, how did that come about? And like, what does that mean? Because when I saw that, I've never heard you guys before. So just kind of explain like the backstory about your name? And
I was raised in a really strict Pentecostal home, and coming up in life, played in a hardcore band that was on a Tooth and Nail Solid State. Mm-hmm. It's a Christian record label. It's the same label that Under Oath was on, Norma Jean, but countless other acts. Mm-hmm. And coming up through that, I always had these ties to, you know, that mindset, and did a couple other bands after that. And when I started this project, it was just me, and picked up a little press. I was working with this publicist, and really didn't have any material or anything. I hadn't played music in a really long time. I kind of walked away from it, and was in a really just kind of dark, shitty spot, and kind of found a little bit of light and just playing around and writing some songs. So I did a session with one of the guys that co-manages our band right now, Matt Holmes. He produced it, and some other players came in, like one of the guys from the Daltrey crew, and a couple other musicians got in on it. And I got to this point that they had said, you're going to be getting some press, you know, with, you know, Blabbermouth and some other people. And I had to come up with a name like right then. We had gotten our first show or something. It was some festival gig. And I just had to come up with something. So I was kind of just, somebody brought that up. I had played all the instruments, and I wrote all the songs and all that stuff. And it was kind of different than we are now. Now we're much heavier. It's much more stoner rock. At that time, it was almost an alt country kind of garage thing going on. And I was thinking, you know, like, since it's a solo project, essentially I put my name in it, and that just kind of came out, I guess, because of my past with that stuff and the you know, all that stuff. So it's really, no, I figured it would be a cast of revolving doors, like this, you know, kind of ghost backup band. So I kind of just played off that. It kind of stuck at this point. You know, band names are a weird thing. Looking down a couple years and the cool opportunities that we've had and stuff, sometimes I really wish we had a name like, you know, Black Sabbath.
I know, right? But then at the time, that could have been a stupid name. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, really, I think just even the thing that's bothered me the most about it is it's just my name's in it. But at the time, it was a solo whip. And then as it grew, we were getting pressed, like the social medias were coming together. So we just kind of, I think eventually you just hopefully get to a point where it's just, you know, the music is what makes it connect to the band name and vice versa. So,
Yeah. So now are you guys, are you like primarily Christian for your music? Like, do you like to write themes in the lyrics to kind of go around that? Or do you just,
we're not a Christian band, man. No. I'm not a Christian. Not at all. That's kind of like a weird thing. I mean, I'm totally cool with that. I respect everybody's belief systems and stuff, but nah, that's like not us. It's not us. No.
I hear you.
Yeah. I mean, the Holy Ghost concept is just, you know, in like the Abrahamic, canonized story of Christianity, you know, it's like that thing that's always there, that invisible force, you know? So that's kind of where it was at with that. But we unfortunately had some press last summer, you know, Christian rockers, like,
yeah. 'Cause I could have sworn I saw that somewhere.
It was on the Billboard thing. Yeah. We were lucky enough to, and very thankful, to have some love from Billboard, and that happened, but it's all good. You know, it's not like a thing. My roots in the past were based out of that kind of scene of music and all that stuff. And we're just about people, man, and ideas and good conversation and, you know, having a good time. So, yeah, but we really write a lot about concepts of these days, you know, ideas about just different takes on the universe and, you know, metaphysical mind. And, you know, it's our music's spiritual, but it's just, it's not a Christian band. So. Yeah.
So now when you say like you were in a strict upbringing, did it have anything to do with religion, or was it just like, you got to get A's on your tests and show me all your report cards and have to do your chores type shit?
No, I was like big time, Pentecostal Christian family. Like, yeah. So it was like coming up, that was kind of drilled into me and my siblings, you know, pretty hard. Mm. So you know, you grow up and you're like, wait, this equation is a little off. So yeah, big time. Mm. And it took me a long time to formulate my own ideas and my own, principles, and to get in touch with really like kind of who I am and like what I think. I think there's other, Dakota was the same way. It's interesting. A few of us were, we didn't know each other until a couple years ago, but when you say the same,
definitely.
100%. Yeah. We were raised in that kind of thing. It's interesting, you know, mm-hmm. that a way to be raised.
Yeah. So do you feel that the way you are now is kind of, cause they say a lot of people, it's funny. I'm taking things from like other podcasts, but like the Joe Rogan podcast, he was basically saying, like, he always jokes around about how all the Christian, the girls that went to like Christian schools and stuff are like the biggest like sluts and stuff. But it's like, it's kind of like the opposite of the way that they're raised. So do you feel that like that was kind of like your rebel nature to kind of basically be like, oh, this was really strict. Like, I'm not about that. Like, this wasn't good. So I want to do the opposite of that now.
Much more so, man, in like my behavior. I think it manifested in I've been taught all these principles, which like half of them I think are bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sexist and it's this and it's that and, you know, yada yada. But there was something in me that like felt like maybe something was wrong with me because, you know, I'm still like, I'm fucking human. I'm broken. Duh. Like, I'm a human being, and I'm putting all my faith and ideology and something that isn't resonating with me. Mm-hmm. And so it manifested, would you shut that door? It manifested, really with my behavior, like pretty negatively, man. I went through a brutal divorce in the early 2000s and kind of just spiraled out of control. I really went down addiction lane, like pretty heavily, and just a lot of, you know, horrible choices. And it took me a long time to kind of figure out, really, to like think for myself. I feel like a lot of these kind of this group thinking, almost cult, mm-hmm. ideas are very dangerous, especially when they don't manifest positive fruit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I was definitely like, looking back and saying that now, in hindsight, it almost feels like a immature perspective, but that's exactly what it was. It was just like, oh, this didn't work out this way and blah, blah, blah. So I'll do a bunch of coke and cry about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear.
It took a long time to, you know, now I barely drink. I quit smoking cigarettes. I fucking, you know, think for myself, you know, and I can love anybody and anything and be open to different ideas. So
yeah,
that's that. I mean, for me personally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that kind of thinking. I mean, for me, I hate this whole, like, to bring up like politics. I hate left and right. Like me, I'm like the type of person, like, I'm not going to say I'm a right, like, even though I might be more right wing than left, like, I'm not going to say I'm a right wing person if I don't agree. Like, how could you possibly agree with everything the right or left says? You know, like, I'm one of those type of people that might be like, all right, I believe what this left person is saying over this right person, but still I have in the back of my mind what they're saying could be untrue. Like, even though I might go with the Alex Joneses of the world over the CNNBC, like, you know, the news stations, right, in the back of my mind, I feel like, yeah, I more resonate with Alex Jones and the things that I'm seeing proof that he's saying. But I'm also, in the back of my mind, this guy's freaking crazy. I know he's crazy. What he's telling me could be total bullshit and could be doctored to make me believe that what he's saying is true when it's actually false. Like, I know that in the back of my mind, it could be wrong. And I feel like if only everyone had that opinion of, yeah, it seems like you're right, but you could be wrong, or having that balance, I think the world would be in such a better place.
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, I think, like, you know, you'd be as right as you want to be, man, or as left as you want to be. I think the biggest problem with everybody is, one, they think they have a fucking soapbox now because they can get online and just vomit their disinformation bullshit all over everyone that pays attention. Mm-hmm. But, you know, two, it's everybody wants to fuck with everybody else's will, man. It's like, do your thing, dude. Just don't, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I have a lot of friends that, you know, as you and as does Dakota, that have, you know, completely different viewpoints and stuff. And I think hopefully at the end of the day, we're all just kind of striving to be better. You know what I mean? Be better human beings. But yeah, it's hard. I went for a very long time. I went down, specifically you brought up Alex Jones. Conspiracy lane, man. I licked the inside of that rabbit hole, lived in it. And, you know, it's everything is like, check the facts, man, from everything from, you know, and everything just seems so much disinformation, man. And it's important to hopefully try to find the truth.
Yeah. It's crazy. And like with the internet, you could basically look up and for everything, like I was talking about my health, I've tried so many supplements and it's like, oh, this helps for this. And it's like, you can find anything on the internet. And then for me, I've tried it for proof and I'm like, I'm getting all this advice from the internet and nothing is working. So you got to be careful with what advice that you get. And it just like some things are just so lucrative. Like it just seems like that's got to be it. And then you totally get scammed. It's like with the internet and you can basically doctor anything and you got to watch because it could be false.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So let's, you guys are working on any new albums or any new songs or anything?
Definitely. We are, hopefully hitting the, studio this summer. We're working out the details, but we're really excited. I can't really say who at this point, but we're doing it with a really awesome producer that we really respect and an amazing studio.
I'm Rick not Rubin? Sure.
Oh man, that would be awesome. No, we're hoping to get in the studio with Matt Goldman sometime this summer.
Who is that? Matt what?
Matt Goldman.
Goldman.
Yeah, he's done some killer work, man. Mm-hmm. Worked with some really awesome bands. So that's our plan. Just doing some sweet runs here and there. Trying to stay busy, but not go out too hard until this new release comes out. We put this release out, like I was saying earlier, we put a release out last September, but it's been a little frustrating for us because it's really not what our band sounds like at all. Mm-hmm. It was one of those deals. We had a finished product, which was kind of a compilation of a bunch of music that I had done over the years. And we kind of pulled, you know, the better stuff from each one and kind of just put it out there. But we're really excited with this. All the material's fresh and mm-hmm. not sure if we're doing an EP yet or a full length, but we should definitely hopefully have something out by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. 2017 or 18?
17. Mm-hmm. So
nice.
That's the goal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've got about, I don't know, probably 15 tunes, but like definitely like 6-7 slammer keepers that we know are going either on an EP or a full length. Mm-hmm. So we've been staying pretty busy with that stuff. We had some minor setbacks around the holidays. Coming off the road, we had some nice momentum going on and we had a mix up with a member. So we've been kind of working all that stuff out. But yeah, stuff's cool, man. We've been grinding pretty hard, getting pre-production ready for this new one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so how often like do you tour? Like, what's your tour schedule?
Typically, we are usually playing like 4 to 8 shows a month. Mm-hmm. Last summer, we toured pretty hard. We did close to a month with He Is Legend, mm-hmm. and we did close to a month with Islander. So we were out a lot last summer. So kind of just like working out what's going on with the release of this new one, what label partner we're working with, mm-hmm. and really just looking for the right fit as far as getting out and staying out for longer runs. Mm-hmm. But we're down to play as much as possible. If anybody checks us out and checks our music out, we work with Joe at Artery Global. So, you know, we're always down to play anywhere, man. And mm-hmm. pretty much up for whatever, dude.
Nice. And then you guys have any upcoming tours or upcoming shows?
Yeah, we've got shows going on. We're playing next week, the 29th, with Red Sun Rising and Morgantown.
Nice. Yeah, we had them on the podcast.
Nice. We're playing with them, and then we've got I'm trying to think what else is going on. We're playing May 10th at Frankie's in Toledo, Ohio with 68. We're really excited about that. Josh Scoggin and company. That'll be a cool show. Mm-hmm. And then it's looking like we're going out sometime in June for a couple weeks, but we're gonna have to figure that out and make announcements about the exact details. But just staying busy, man, trying to do stuff that, like we were talking about earlier, stuff that's smart, you know, and just a good time for everybody involved. Mm-hmm. A few of us have kids and stuff, so yeah.
Well, dude, it's crazy you guys are able to still tour, and you have a kid that's 17 trying to go to expensive college. So it's crazy that you actually tour, and more props to you, man. Like, I sit here and I'm like, I don't even have a kid, and I can't even consider, like, or even think about going on a tour without having to drop everything, which would be my regular normal 9-to-5 job. So I give you props.
It's tough, man. I just try to figure it out. I mean, I'm not done with it yet, you know, mm-hmm. until whenever that day comes, I'll be honest with myself and be like, yeah, but we're really, really pumped about this new record we're going to put out this year. So I'm excited for you and everyone else to hear it.
Yeah, man. When it's out, you're definitely going to have to send us some things we can plug.
Yeah, I will for sure, man. I'll send you some stuff. Well, we're planning on doing it. This one with a nice vinyl release as well, because the material kind of caters to that. So
yeah, cool, man. So and then speaking of plugs to end the episode, what just let people know where they can find you again. Maybe plug the shows again. So yeah, just go ahead.
Yeah, you can pick up our full length available right now on Standby Records. You can pick that up at Merch Direct or their sites or some local retailers, iTunes, all that stuff. We are on Facebook, Jesse Smith and the Holy Ghost. We're on Instagram, Jesse Smith, THG, same for Twitter, and Do Bands of Town, all that stuff. So got a couple videos on YouTube, and you know, we're relatively easy to track down. So we're playing gigs randomly all through the summer, a couple festival dates. But in the next month, we got Red Sun Rising at Main Stage in Morgantown, West Virginia on April 29th. And then Frankie's in Toledo, Ohio with 68. Mm-hmm. And that's May 10th.
Dang. And then also, too, to end the episode, we would like to have a song of yours end the episode. Which song would you like to choose?
What do you think? Center of the Universe. That's a good one.
All right, great. Jesse, Dakota, it was a pleasure having you guys on. And then, you know, good luck with the album. And definitely when it comes out, send it to us so we can check it out.
I definitely will, man. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem.
Awesome.
Have a good night.
You too.
Never yells when you come.